Well, we're on a series called Kindness Counts. How many of you know that kindness counts? And yeah, it does. Let me remind you of a few things. We're in a harsh and cruel and bitter world, fueled by harsh, cruel, and bitter words. And where there are words, usually actions are not far off because you kind of set a tone. And I really think the remedy for all of that is kindness. And we need an infusion of kindness. We actually need a transfusion of kindness. And I do think it's the remedy. And you know this, whenever anyone extends kindness to you, doesn't it kind of brighten things a little bit? When someone extends kindness to you, doesn't it relieve you? Because we're undeserving of it all, but it helps. It's useful. It does something. Part of the definition of kindness is it's useful. It helps. You know, sometimes somebody can do something for you and it doesn't really help. And it's like, well, that's nice. But kind, you know, it does something. It relieves, it brightens, it lifts, it refreshes, and it helps and it heals. And it helps and heals those that receive kindness. Come on, how many of you have received kindness before? It does, and it also helps and heals you as you extend it. Look in Proverbs 11, verse 17 in the Message. It says, when you're kind to others, you help yourself. And when you're cruel to others, you hurt yourself. So kindness, it has an impact. And it's kind of a right away kind of impact. It's almost like a spiritual, if you will, electrical chemical reaction. That it does something. You know, and when you're on the receiving end of kindness, I mean, it, like I said, it brightens, it relieves, it energizes you. Alicia's not here today. My daughter that lives in Nashville, her only child, our youngest grandchild, had a birthday, and so a number of the family went up there, kind of a girls' trip and a gathering. And so while she's gone, yesterday I thought, I'm going to go get her car washed. Thank you very much. And because that's a kind thing to do. But no, it was dirty. And so I took it, and I'm at the car wash, and then you pull out, and then you kind of dry it off yourself. And all of a sudden, a guy was right there, and he went, Pastor Tim. And he said, I go to the church. I haven't met you. And immediately, he took a couple towels and just started, you know, help me. I said, you don't have to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. And then we talked for a while, and it was just so kind. And it blessed me then, and it still blesses me now. Just the joy that of his kindness. I didn't deserve that. I didn't ask for that. And he just did that, and it did something. Y'all with me? And so if you'd like to get on the list, I'll let you know what day I go. I'm joking. But the reaction to that is this. It produces gratitude and humility. When someone is kind to you, it produces gratitude and humility. And can I tell you something? That makes us healthy. When you have gratitude and humility in your soul, it keeps you healthy. When it's not there, you're not well. You're unwell at that point. Because then you feel entitled and not grateful, and it's just not a healthy place to be. Nor is that a healthy condition for our culture. And so we need in our world, we need in our relationships, we need in our lives, in our soul, in our families, we need to have some gratitude and humility. And the way to kind of inject that in are acts and words of kindness. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, kindness is countercultural. It's countercultural, but it's exactly what our culture needs. It's countercultural, yet we all know what is kind and what is not. So anybody, I don't care who they are, would say, that was very kind. Or they would say, well, that wasn't very kind at all. And so we all recognize it, but yet within our culture, there's been such a shift that kindness is now kind of countercultural. But though it would be countercultural in our society, in our world, it is a main cultural element in God's kingdom. And so we're in a kingdom culture. And so things are different. Do you know what a culture is? Culture really, it's hard to fully articulate, but culture is what you do, how you do it, why you do it. A lot of you come from different cultures and you eat foods this way, or you celebrate things on this day and you do everything loud or you do everything quiet, you know, and a lot of that is just cultural things. Well, when you come into the family of God and you're a follower of Jesus, not just a fan of Jesus, but a follower of Jesus, and you're in God's kingdom culture, it's part of our culture. It impacts how we do things, why we do things, how we do things. I said that because it's part of his kingdom culture. It's an entirely different playbook, an entirely different rule book. His way of handling things, doing things, his way of handling people and responding to people as well. I can put it this way. In this family, we're not rude. Okay? So in the family of God, we're not rude. Okay. We're kind. Everybody say we're kind. All right. And we need help on that. And that's part of why we're talking about this. Okay. Look with me in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 in the Amplified Bible. It says, little children, and that's a term of endearment to us, let us not love merely in theory or in speech, but in deed and in truth, in practice and in sincerity. So kindness shows up in what we say and do. Kindness shows up in how we say and do it. And just by definition here, roll along with me here. Kindness is goodness. Kindness is usefulness. It's sympathy. It's friendliness, patience, helpful, pleasant, gentle. It's forgiving. That's probably the greatest expression of kindness is forgiveness. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:32, it says that we're to forgive one another. This is all in the context of kindness. Forgive one another tender-hearted. So when you forgive somebody, it shouldn't be like, all right, I'm going to let it go this time. But one more time. You know, no, that's not kingdom forgiveness. Kingdom forgiveness is it's also tender-hearted. Now, God is the originator and source of kindness. Would you read that with me? God is the originator and the source of kindness. God set the pattern. God set it all in motion. He gives the sunshine and the rain. He gives fruitful seasons. He gives food and good on the just and on the unjust alike. But that's for everybody. That's called general revelation, general kindness, that God does so much good, and I'll get to this later too, to the unthankful and the evil. God still gives a measure of goodness. But when you come into the family of God, now it's the immeasurable riches and resources of his grace, of his kindness and his love. And he does all of that through Jesus. So look at this. We've talked about this the last couple weeks. All the attributes and resources of God are expressed toward us through his kindness. Would you read it with me? All the attributes and resources of God are expressed toward us through his kindness. My wife Alicia's stepfather, who raised her, he was from Germany, and he was trained in Europe as a pastry chef. So when I started dating Alicia and eating at their house, I thought, what took me so long? I don't know if this is a good analogy or not, but he was just a master at it all. And watched him before take this thing, and it's some kind of cloth, and it comes up like this. And this is for like decorating a cake. And then there's a nozzle down at the end. And so you put all the goodness in there. And then you kind of squeeze it on down and direct it, and he could just do, he was an artist, you know, just to be able to do all of that. And in my hungry mind, I mean, in my mind, that's all the goodness and resources of God. And it just kind of comes on down, and it comes out in the form of kindness through Jesus Christ. Titus talks about it was the kindness of God appeared through Jesus. And so all of the goodness, all of the resources of God come to us, and I think it is expressed through kindness. Kindness is God stooping down to our brokenness. Kindness is God stooping down to our need. Kindness is bringing His goodness, His love, and His power within reach of us. Literally, part of the definition is that stooping down to be near to us. Otherwise, it's all out of reach for us. And there's no way for us to get to the goodness and the kindness of God, or the resources and power of God. But in His kindness, He stoops down and brings it close to us. Anybody thankful for that today? Amen. Now, we, His children, are to be like our Father. We're to live our lives and be that way. Like Him, that the goodness of God, because He's the source, He's the originator, He's the supply, He's supplied plenty of goodness and kindness in our life, and now like our Father, we are to pass that on. This will be on the screen for you. Jesus was God's love and kindness in the flesh. Jesus was God's love and kindness in the flesh. Remember Jesus said this, if you've seen me, you've seen who? I gave you a clue there, accidentally there. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, my Father and I are one. In Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Amen. He gave him power. He gave him anointing. And what did Jesus do with it? He went about doing good. He went about doing good. And so Jesus is the goodness and the love of God in the flesh. And we're to be the same. We're to do the same. And when we extend kindness and when we live in kindness, we're actually helping the invisible God become visible. Have you ever seen such people before and say, I can just see God in them. I just see the love of God. I see the goodness of God in them. You haven't? Okay. How many of this? I see the devil in them. Yeah. Okay. Well, we need to see more of God's goodness. And we as His children are to have that likeness in our life and be God's kindness and goodness incarnate. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to read about 5 verses for you in the Message paraphrase. Hey, and maybe a good Christmas idea would be to get somebody a Message Bible. It's not a translation, it's a paraphrase, but Eugene Peterson, who put that together, was really a master in the languages of Hebrew and Greek, and bring it into a contemporary language. It just kind of helps you to fly over a thought, you know, and maybe see things in just a little different way. This is really pretty provocative here. It says, you're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. This is Jesus speaking. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you and not the worst. How many of you know it's usually the other way around? When someone gives you a hard time, react. No, I'm sorry. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer, for then you're working out of your true selves, your God-creative selves. This is what God does. He gives His best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone regardless, the good and bad, the nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, come on, help me. Grow up. Your kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives toward you. Come on, somebody say amen on that today. Now, Jesus said, okay, we've got what you've heard. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. And He said, and now you've got what I'm telling you. And what I'm telling you is this: love your neighbor, love your friend, and love your enemy too. Now, your enemy is not just one who is actively hostile toward you, okay? Your enemy is not just somebody that's against you. It is all those things. But your enemy might just be somebody who's just not for you. Did you know you get offended all the time by people that aren't even thinking about you? It happens in traffic. People didn't zoom around you and ride on your tail and do all that stuff. Just, there they are. They weren't looking for you. You know, but you're like, ugh, you are now my enemy. Now, my first car I had back in high school, I bought this thing, and it mounted on your dash, and it took two AA batteries, and it had three buttons on it. One was a machine gun. One was a bazooka. And the other one was like a laser gun. And so somebody messed you up in traffic. And it helped. And it's a great stocking stuffer. Actually, I don't want to encourage that in you at all, okay? But they're really not your enemy, you know? But by category, just because they're not for you, Jesus said this, you need to respond. And what I want you to do is I want you to be kind. And what we try to do so often is think of contingencies or exceptions or exemptions. You know, Jesus, I know you said, love our neighbor, love our friends, and love our enemies. But Lord, I need to talk to you about that. Because see, I've got this situation. I've got this person. And we're not to do that. Jesus said, you just be kind. Of course, you need to be wise. You need to be safe. You need to be led. But bottom line, you need to be kind. Do you know how kindness manifests sometimes? By you doing nothing. You know, sometimes, well, I could really say something, or I could really do something, or I could really, you know, there have been times, and I'm not a hothead or anything, but there have been times we've been somewhere and something will happen, and and Alicia go, no, you're not going to do anything. You're just going to be quiet. You're going to be sweet. You know, you don't need to do anything with it. And see, sometimes the kind thing to do is like, just going to let it go. Just going to let it drop. And as you're walking away, I let it go, you know. If she wouldn't, no. God is kind, the Bible says, even to the unthankful and to the evil. Look with me in Romans chapter 12, verse 21. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good or kindness. Do you know what the context there is in Romans 12? Vengeance. What's vengeance about? Somebody's done something and I need to get them back. Well, let's read that back in verse 18 and 19. It says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, watch this, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. The message paraphrase right there says, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. This is what you need to know. God is saying, I got you. I got you. You just stay calm. You be kind. But you know why we don't want to give that over to God? Because we're really afraid that God will be nice to them like he was nice to us. How many of you, God's given you some breaks before? All right? And we just feel the whole universe would be better served. God, you take care of all. I will take care of this. And you're going to end up with a mess. And you're going to end up, you know, losing your peace and who knows what else. But here's the thing, God's got you. God says this, I will take care of them. And sometimes God might smack them, and sometimes God might do just like he's done for you and have a talk with them and deal with them and straighten them out. And we're afraid of that happening because we think there's a better way. Come on, y'all better fess up. And God says, I've got them. Just trust, get them off of your hook, put them over on God's hook, and your whole job, your whole everything that you're to be doing is just be kind. Amen. Amen. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience. Help me. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. Now, in and of ourselves, come on, admit it, we don't have what it takes. We don't have what it takes. It's not our nature to just humbly give mercy and kindness to people that we think don't deserve it. But here again is another place where the Holy Spirit is our helper. And we need him to help us, not just in the moment, but to help us for the rest of our lives, to do something transforming in us to help us to not just do kindness, but to actually be kind, that it is part of who we are. And he wants to produce fruit in us. Now, the word kindness here, everybody say kindness again. In that verse, in the New Testament Greek, and I give you this word only for one reason here, that word kindness is the Greek word Christos, Christos, C-H-R-E-S-T-O, Christos, F, and a final S. And it means kindness. Let me give you, a related word, you ready, is Christos, Jesus Christ, Christ anointed. Anointing. It has to do with anointing oil. It has to do with the impact of what oil would do. Now, we'll get there in a moment. It means this: kindness, usefulness, gentleness, and the grace which pervades your whole nature. It's fruit. It includes a softening. This is what I want you to hear. It includes a softening and mellowing of all which would have been harsh and austere. A softening, a mellowing that takes place. The opposite word of it for it in the Greek is to have an edge, sharpness, severity, and cutting. Instead, there's a softening. You know, and sometimes in our world, because of fear, because of anger, because of hurt, we want to create that edge and just be hard and resistant. But the Holy Spirit wants to produce something in us. He wants us, you ready, to be more soft and to be more mellow. Amen? Rudeness is the weak man's imitation of strength. And actually, strength comes from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us fruit. Can I tell you what the fruit of the Spirit really is? It's his personality. And you know what? Who you hang out with and get exposed to, you're going to take on their personality. You're going to take on their personality. You know, maybe when you're a teenager, you get in trouble for something, and then your mom says, "So when did you start to cuss?" And I promise you, it's who you're hanging out with. Or you show up and somebody says, "So when did you become a cowboy? Or when did you become a rapper?" And I promise you, it's who you're getting exposed to and who you're hanging out with. How about this? When did you start becoming so kind? Not just do kindness, but to be kind, that we start to develop fruit. I'm telling you, it's by hanging out with and being exposed to the Holy Spirit. And he starts to do this work in us where we soften and mellow, where we used to have an edge and we're harsh. Church, we are called to kindness. Kindness is so needed. Kindness makes a difference. And I want you to know this: kindness can heal a relationship. Kindness can heal a family. Kindness can heal you. And you know what I believe? Kindness can heal a nation. Kindness has got to start somewhere. I told you already, God is the originator and the source of kindness. And that kindness is flowing like you can't even keep up with in our lives. Let it produce that gratitude and humility in us. Let it make us well. And let's pass on. We are called to kindness. Let's pass on as the children of God. Let's infuse. Let's transfuse in everywhere we are, in every interaction that we have. Let's bring kindness to bear and watch what God will do with that. Amen? Amen. We're called to kindness. You get anything at all out of this? All right. I want to do this real quick. Can I have you just bow your heads? Hold your hands out in front of you as if to receive from the Lord. I want to pray over us this prayer. Holy Spirit, help us be kind. We ask you right now, soften our hearts and our disposition. Help us to mellow in how we respond. Help us to slow down and look for opportunities to be kind. Fill us and empower us with the fruit of kindness to flow from our hearts, our minds, our words, and our actions. You're our Heavenly Father because of your kindness. And you've been so kind, so good to us. Help that kindness to have its full impact in us. and help it to flow through us to others. That was your goal, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.